Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a Monday, and this is The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles. Halloween week, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Very ghoulish and scary. Turn on FS1 today. Our studio is all jacked up full of Halloween ghouls and goblins, and Joy Taylor is joining me. 1 hour from now, Colin Right, Colin Wrong, maybe our longest one of the year. I was wrong a lot, right occasionally. Great to have you in. Our set looks unbelievable today.
It does. We have a lot of guests on set today.
And Halloween is not just for kids. It is an adult vacation.
Oh, no. Halloween is one of it, yes. It might be my it's inappropriate to say Halloween's my favorite holiday.
No.
But it kind of is my favorite holiday.
Yeah, 4th of July is mine. I blow stuff up and drink beer. I love 4th of July.
That's great. It's a party.
Yep. And so is where I live.
Very little responsibility.
It is great to have you in again. In 1 hour from now, Colin Right, Colin Wrong. Let me start with this. Aaron Rodgers was great last night. Okay, I know that. Yeah, yippee. I drive into work this morning. Oh, Aaron Rodgers, you see that play? I've seen it. He's great. I'm not disputing that. And I do like what Green Bay's doing with running backs. The story last night is Matt Moore. Why couldn't Green Bay stop him? This was not supposed to be a shootout. This was going to be Mahomes-Aaron Rodgers game of the year. Matt Moore, who hadn't started in 2 years, was playing high school football last year. After kind of a rocky start, he got in a groove. Matt Moore, high school football coach a year ago. He had 3 practices with the Chiefs' first team offense. He was over 50% on third down. He threw for as many yards as Aaron Rodgers, 6.6 yards a pass. This was not supposed to happen. I've seen San Francisco, New Orleans, and New England against quarterbacks without experience. I saw San Francisco this weekend against a young quarterback. It was a horror movie fitting on Halloween week. I've seen New England against younger quarterbacks who aren't very good. New Orleans, Kyler Murray couldn't move the chains. Matt Moore should not have been able to do that. New Orleans, New England, and San Francisco have defenses that constantly make quarterbacks uncomfortable. Matt Moore was completely comfortable. Green Bay does not have a great defense. They have a couple of really, really good defensive playmakers. The Smith brothers at linebacker are playmakers and deserve all the credit in the world, and I love the acquisitions. But we got a gap here between the Niners, the Patriots, the Saints, then there's the Packers. Let's just know, Matt Moore against San Francisco off 3 practices would have been, suffocated. Against New England, multiple picks. Against the Saints, couldn't move the chains. He moved the ball up and down the field. After a little bit of a rocky start, you'd think that having coached high school football last year, you'd have a little rocky start. So now I've seen with Green Bay, I've seen Philadelphia in Lambeau run it down their throat. Oakland get 430 yards against them. Dallas and Dak, mostly second half, but over 500 yards. And I watched Matt Moore up and down the field. So yes, Aaron's great, but that's not moving the conversation. We know Aaron's great. We know he can make great throws. That doesn't win you Super Bowls. The great throw in the NFL is like the hole-in-one in a golf tournament. If you don't hit your putts, keep the ball in the fairway, you lose the tournament. But everybody shows the hole-in-one on Friday. Okay, we know Aaron's ridiculous. We know Aaron's talented. And it does appear that Matt LaFleur, at least emotionally, schematically, is right on point with Aaron. They finally use the running backs. Like, it's a real offense now. It's multiple. It's fast. It's clever. It's quick. You have to defend the perimeter. And they're doing it out Devontae Adams. I'm in no way knocking Aaron Rodgers for that. But when I watched Green Bay last night, that defense, Oakland up and down the field, Matt Moore up and down the field, Philadelphia takes over. That's my takeaway on that thing. And by the way, the other teams, this is a defense that's become turnover dependent. They didn't get turnovers against Philadelphia in that second half. They couldn't get the ball back for Aaron Rodgers. Detroit, they didn't get turnovers. Should have lost that football game. And the teams above you in the NFL, Green Bay, San Francisco, great coach great defense. New England, great coach, great quarterback, great defense. Saints, great coach, great defense, great quarterback. So the three teams in the league that have separated to me, really separated from everybody else, Green Bay I can't put in that group. You can't have Matt Moore out of high school doing that stuff. Can't have it. Over 50% on third down? And that's not a great Kansas City O-line. That's not the Colts' young O-line. That's not Dallas's O-line. All right, let's shift to this. America, get ready. Get ready. It's going to be deja vu all over again. Cleveland is 2-5 and is about to get really obnoxious. So I want to remind everybody that we predicted they would struggle early, and then as their schedule loosened up, because Cleveland's got talent, they would beat a bunch of terrible teams. It just so happens the team Cincinnati, Miami, are more terrible than I thought, and the Steelers, who they play twice over the next 2 months, have a backup quarterback. But I want to remind you, they lost badly to Kyle Shanahan, badly to Bill Belichick, butchered it against Pete Carroll and Sean McVay. And off a bye, judge a coach off a bye. Off a bye, Freddie Kitchens, 13 penalties, first three snaps, three turnovers, 3 for 12 on third down. Not even sure what they were doing on 4th and 11 when they took a penalty against the really well-coached teams. They embarrassed themselves. Dumb penalties, dumb mistakes. Don't ask me what Baker Mayfield's butt fumble play was. I can't figure it out. But starting next Sunday, it's a bunch of nonsense. It's a Denver team that lost again and is selling parts. Steelers twice, backup quarterback. Miami tanking. Cincinnati borderline tanking twice. Arizona. And by the way, I predicted this. I said Cleveland is going to lose early and look bad. Reel off a bunch of W's against crappy teams with average coaches and weak quarterbacks. Well, the quarterbacks now are backups. And I said, they're going to get a little comeuppance. They're going to play Baltimore near the end of the year, and they're going to get crushed at home. And it's working out perfectly. But what's going to happen in Cleveland, this is what happened last year. They were terrible. The schedule weakened. Baker comes in, and Baker goes at the end of the year has against, you know, bad defenses. Atlanta, Cam was hurt, Carolina, Cincinnati twice, 7 touchdowns, no picks. Cleveland last year comes out. They're awful. Then the schedule lightens up. Baker throws a bunch of touchdowns against bad teams. And all of a sudden, all we heard all offseason, Super Bowl. It's deja vu all over again. This is a poorly coached team that's not very smart. When they faced McVay, when they faced Vrabel, who I think can coach, when they faced Belichick, when you start looking at the team, when they faced Kyle Shanahan, they were outcoached, outplayed, outsmarted, out everything. But it's going to get really soft and really weak, and like last year, they're going to finish with some W's, and they're going to be outraged at all of us, media and you, that we don't get it. No, we do get it. We got it last year. We didn't buy into it. We got it in the last offseason. We knew they would be overhyped, and we knew they were going to struggle this year. I'll stand by my prediction. Cleveland will not make the playoffs, but they'll be in the 8-8, 9-7 bubble. They're going to basically have three games against tanking teams, Cincinnati and Miami, and the Steelers and a backup quarterback, and then Kyler Murray and a Buffalo team that's well-coached but can't throw. Get ready, America. Baker Mayfield, to his credit, admitted we're an undisciplined mess. I like that part.
It's non-discipline. Guys not being focused on doing their job. It starts first and foremost with me to be a leader. Every single down, get our guys lined up, make sure that we're set, we're paying attention, because if we can't use cadence, we're hurting ourselves.
I appreciate that. He made a good point on cadence. Anytime they're using cadence, guys are jumping off sides. They're not accountable. They're sloppy. I judge coaches off a bye. Lou Holtz is one of the great coaches in college football. He was great off a bye. Urban Meyer off a bye. Barry Alvarez at Wisconsin off a bye. Andy Reid off a bye. Sean Payton off a bye. Bill Belichick off a bye. I watched Cleveland off a bye. New England short week. And don't tell me the talent was that much different. Cleveland was a mess.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, of all the things this year in the NFL, it's been the year of the coach. And let me explain. Belichick loses his defensive coordinator to Miami, Brian Flores. Belichick takes over the defense, and it's statistically the greatest of all time. Sean Payton loses first ballot Hall of Famer Drew Brees. Teddy Bridgewater goes 5-0. Mike McCarthy leaves. Uh-oh, Matt LaFleur, what do we know? He's been terrific with Aaron Rodgers. John Harbaugh takes Lamar Jackson, fully supports him, the kid who I thought was a project over a prospect, and they're going to win this division going away. And how about Cliff Kingsbury? He got fired by his alma mater. He's done a terrific job in Arizona. Every game they should have won, they've won. It has been the year of the coach in the NFL. But Kyle Shanahan is at the top of that list, not Belichick. They destroyed a completely legitimate Carolina team yesterday. They do everything well. And they're not doing it with great talent. Jimmy Garoppolo, second round. Running back Matt Breida, undrafted. George Kittle, fifth round. Tevin Coleman, third round. They're missing both tackles, the Pro Bowl left tackle and the exceptional right tackle. They've had multiple injuries to their wide receivers. They had to go get Emmanuel Sanders. Even he worked yesterday. You know, I said this, and Joy was here. I said, we've all fallen in love with Sean McVay. And I said this after last year. My prediction was, before the season started, that we would go, oh, that best coach in the NFL is in the NFC West. It just happens to be Kyle Shanahan. Whereas McVay, smart, talented, successful, like Sean McVay a lot. His offense clearly is very dependent on a workhorse running back, as far as I can tell. San Francisco's not dependent on anybody. He moved the ball with Nate Mullins, tight end, receivers. They've lost their top running back the last 2 years. They lead the NFL in running percentage almost 60% of the time, even more than Baltimore. They are unbelievable. They're clever. They're slick. When George Kittle is not only open, but when a player is that open as a Pro Bowler, that is schematics. I'm looking at these numbers yesterday against Carolina. This was the shock of the day for me. Third down efficiency, 50%, 6.5 yards a pass, 6.5 yards a play, 4 out of 5 in the red zone, total domination. This is a Carolina defense that's exceptional. This is an exceptional defensive coaching staff. They're good receivers, dominant running back, everything. Carolina's got everything. They have a backup quarterback who looked fine the entire season. So we believe every week Belichick gives you a schematic advantage. We all believe that, right? I do. So's Kyle Shanahan. Kyle, you're watching these games. Yesterday, I'm 5 minutes in. Everything's working. Against Ron Rivera, a very good defensive coach, everything is working. It is exceptional. And here's the scary thing about San Francisco. They are young. So it reminds me of that Seattle team right before they won the Super Bowl. They're not just good, they're young. And like a young fighter, they get better fast. Here's their coach.
The more games you win, the more confidence guys get. Just like the more games you lose in a row, the less confidence you get. Both can be a little bit contagious to the team. And, you know, I think our guys, you know, we've won a lot of different ways, been in a lot of different types of games. And I think our guys, the more you do that, the more you can reassure yourself that you can pull out certain types of wins. The more you can have a team that does that stuff, it's something you can always go back on. And no matter what the circumstances are, you can find a way to get a win in.
51.7-0. Young teams, I always call it the Mike Tyson quality. It's that pit bull quality. A young basketball team will have these unbelievable nights, but young teams tend to be uneven. What I like about San Francisco, they have all the upside of a young team. They play with a ton of emotion. When they get rolling and their confidence is going, you know, it's like, whoa, watch out. They don't even know what they don't know. But they've also won several different ways. Last week in Washington, they won with defense. They've trailed in games. They've had to come behind. Pittsburgh. Yesterday, it was steamroll, come out of the gates, and then hold on to the lead and not get too conservative. So right now in the NFL, my eyes tell me San Francisco, maybe I'm nuts, best team in the NFL. That's what my eyes tell me. Beating different ways, winning different ways, beating different teams. And what they did against Carolina's defense, that's jaw-dropping. That's like, okay, we got a new team that should be favored to get to Miami in the Super Bowl.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I thought this was interesting yesterday. So Bill Belichick won his 300th game. You know, baseball, I grew up, baseball was like the sport, right? It was the national pastime, and the numbers are massive. You think Bill Belichick all these years, I'm shocked it's not more than 300 games. It feels like he's been winning for 20 years every year, right? But he won after the game, and Tom Brady came up and said something pretty funny.
300 wins is pretty spectacular. He's, you know, best coach of all time, and it's a privilege to play for him. For as many years as I have, he's taught me so much. You know, on and off the field, just been a great mentor for me. You know, amazing to think that he coached for another place and they didn't think he was good enough, you know, and then he comes here and does a great job. Certainly hard-earned, well-deserved, and only better than 300 is 301. So we'll be back at it this week.
You know, it's really interesting. When I hear everybody's excuses why they're losing, Philadelphia, we need DeSean Jackson. We don't have a speed wide receiver. We got to get another cornerback here. That's your Chargers. You know, our offensive line's beat up. Or, you know, Rams. Our offensive line's getting old. We don't have the depth at running back. And I just go, stop it. Just think about New England. Just their offense. Just think about their offense. They lose their left tackle. They lose their center. Now, those are the two most vital positions on the offensive line. Center calls audibles. Left tackle protects Tom. Lose them both. They lose a fullback. And New England's one of two teams in the league, San Francisco the other. A lot of their offense is engineered through the fullback. They lose him. Been using a linebacker at fullback recently. They lose a Pro Bowl kicker. Sort of matters in a sport where every Super Bowl, you know, New England wins is decided by a field goal. They have a superstar wide receiver coming. AB lasts an hour. Get rid of him. Could have been massive conflict. They lose Josh Gordon. Another one gets hurt. They have a first-round draft pick at receiver. Can't get on the field. Oh, yeah, they lost Gronk, Hall of Famer. And they're 8-0, and their point differential is 60 points better than everybody. Belichick loses his defensive coordinator. Has to get on the headset now and call the plays. Distraction, right? It's the best defense they've ever had. I mean, they've had a dozen injuries, a first-round pick that's not playing, a center, a left tackle, a key fullback, a kicker, two wide receivers, and their point differential, it's not even close. Yesterday, you watched them on a short week against the team in a bye, and who looked disorganized? It wasn't the Browns' first three snaps of the game, but for three straight snaps, they had a turnover. On a rainy, wet day, they never do. They never have the big mistake. I think this is as good a job as he's ever done. I think he's the smartest coach of my life, and I include Jimmy Johnson in that, the Andy Reids, you know, all the great coaches. Everybody in this league has an excuse why they're not winning. New England's got 6 excuses on offense. 6 reasons they should be a train wreck. And they are efficient on a short week yesterday.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
We do this every Monday. And I do it all year. Used to do it for football season that people liked it. Where, you know, I have big, strong opinions. But sometimes I whiff, and I have to be called out when I whiff. So Colin right, Colin wrong on a Monday. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
I said Friday. I know this ex-girlfriend ruined my credit. My friends hated her, and she poured bleach in my plants. But I'm giving my ex-girlfriend, the Philadelphia Eagles, one more chance. I know they've burned me a million times. I like this organization too much to bail. And I said on Friday, they're going to go to Buffalo, and they're going to win convincingly. Joy was here as proof, and Buffalo was on fire, and Philadelphia knocked them over.
I doubted her, but okay. You're right.
Owner, GM, quarterback, coach, I give all of them an A. This team's not built to ask Carson Wentz to throw 40 times. They're built up front. They're emotional. They're physical. When a team organizationally gets an A in the four things I care about, owner, GM, coach, quarterback, I can't bail on him, and I wouldn't bail on him, and they delivered for me. Eagles, thank you for my Friday prediction.
Where Colin was wrong.
My Blazing 5 was trash. I was 1-4, and I was lucky to be 1-4. I got a backdoor cover with the Giants. I am now 59% for the year, which is about where I've been. I went with dogs, and they were all dogs with fleas. My dogs were dogs. And it was one of those Sundays where I knew 45 minutes in, I'm like, my team stink. Why do I take the Jets? That's on me. That's not on America. I'm at 59%. Which is kind of where I generally land, 58, 59% on Blazing 5.
Where Colin was right.
Michigan beat Notre Dame. I predicted that on Thursday. I said Harbaugh can coach. He got to a Super Bowl. I'm tired of hearing how he can't coach. Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. Yes, they can't beat Ohio State. Who's beating Ohio State except Clemson? Who's beating Ohio State? Michigan football, even with Bo Schembechler and Lloyd Carr, won 9 to 9.5 games and were sub 500 in bowl games. That's what Michigan is. They get one or two big wins a year like this one. They lose to your Ohio State. They'll lose another game and they finish 9 wins. And right now, guess what? Michigan after this has 6 wins. They also play Maryland, Michigan State, and Indiana. And they're going to win those 3 games and then lose to Ohio State and they'll finish with 9 wins. And if they win a bowl game, which I think Michigan should every other year, they'll finish with 10. Harbaugh took over a program with 6 wins a year. He's got them up to 9, and they're going to win 9 this year. Now, I don't think they've been as good at quarterback as they should be. He deserves heat for really, really not delivering at quarterback. But can we stop it? They're not Alabama. They're not Ohio State. They're not Oklahoma. They're not LSU. They're not USC historically. They're a very good A-minus program, and if he wins the favored games going out, and we predicted they would beat Notre Dame, he'll finish with 9 wins.
Where Colin was wrong.
Remember that quarterback class in 2018 where I said Baker, Darnold, and Rosen are ready to play now? They're 16-37. And I said Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are projects more than prospects. Those two are 21-11. What does it prove? Coaching matters in the NFL. Buffalo and Baltimore have very good coaches. But I was thinking about it this weekend. The higher you get drafted, the worse team you get drafted to. And the real winner in this is Lamar Jackson, who went to a good owner, a good GM, a good O-line, a good coach. Now Lamar's also very coachable. And Lamar's also listened to his critics, developed more of a passing game. But I will say this, the guys I thought were projects are winning football games. And the guys I thought were immediate players and prospects are all a mess.
Where Colin was right.
Mitch Trubisky. Let's move on. This year, 6 games, 5 TDs, 3 picks. I got 32 starts with Mitch Trubisky. 32 NFL starts. All you need to do is watch how the Chicago Bears offensive staff treats him. That 3rd and goal earlier in the game, late in the game, not willing. They just kneeled at the end of the game. They wouldn't even let him throw a roll. He's a very good athlete. They wouldn't let him roll out, throw a 6-yard out pattern to increase the kick percentage-wise to about 85, 90%. They're petrified for him to do anything in a crucial spot. And listen, they've got wide receiver talent. They've got running back talent. Don't tell me the Bears don't have offensive talent. They've got players. In fact, at wide receiver, they got a little depth. And trading deadlines today. Make the move. From day one, I didn't like him in college. I didn't like him as a draft pick. I thought they made a big mistake on drafting him, and it's a mess in Chicago.
Where Colin was wrong.
Speaking of a mess, Adam Gase had a winning record with Tannehill in Miami and beat Belichick twice. The Jets are a disaster. Now, I think a lot of this is ownership and the previous GM, but I watched yesterday, penalties 10, Darnold is running for his life, sacked 8 times, should have been 12, but he's still making decisions and throws he should be coached out of. They have no running game. I mean, Le'Veon Bell's averaging slightly over 2 yards a carry. They don't have a single unit on the team except the interior of their defensive line that I like. I like their safeties and the defensive interior. They're a mess. He's awful optically at the press conference. He instills no confidence. They're not getting better. PATs missed. Tackles missed. I mean, they had a really good opening drive, and that was it. Now, again, the offensive line's injured, and we know when the offensive line goes south outside of New England, teams go south. But they do not look well coached, and I thought Adam Gase was the perfect elixir for Sam Darnold's rookie mistakes and rookie year.
Where Colin was right?
Deshaun Watson, in terms of playmaker, he's a top three quarterback of my life. Russell Wilson's also in there. He's absolutely remarkable. And here's what I love about Deshaun Watson is that he's doing this the last 2 years. Yesterday, the Texans' offensive line, once again, was all beat up. He is doing this with either bad offensive lines or injury-plagued offensive lines. Remember when Dabo Swinney said he's Michael Jordan? I don't know what the critics don't see. He's completing 69% of his throws. Don't tell me he's just an athlete. He's completing higher than like Tom. He's in the Tom Brady category. His passer rating's 105. What is it that people don't see? Gruden finally echoed the sentiments of his college coach, Dabo Swinney.
You know, you see Michael Jordan, you see, you know, some of the great athletic plays in any sport. You got to tip your hat to the guy. I mean, we had him three times. Then he makes an unbelievable throw, and the kid makes a great catch. We're not the first team he's gotten. I mean, this guy's a spectacular player. He wills it out of his team, and he makes something out of nothing.
And I didn't love him as a thrower out of college. He's gotten better at that. I mean, man, there are – you know Cleveland could have him right now? Not a shot at Baker. They had the number one pick. They took Myles Garrett, good player. Then they took Baker. They
couldn't
take Deshaun Watson.
The Bears have him too?
Oh, yeah, the Bears did. There's a lot of coaches – there's a lot. Mahomes and Watson. There's a lot of GMs in this league.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Where Colin was wrong.
You know, I defended Mike McCarthy for years with Aaron Rodgers. I said he's not a bad coach. Stop telling me that Mike McCarthy is a failure. But I have to be honest. Green Bay is fast, multiple, clever. Aaron Rodgers is happiest I've ever seen him. They're really doing a nice job with using the running backs. Running backs, yesterday, Aaron Jones had seven catches. The running backs had four touchdowns. Listen, I said Mike McCarthy, we're blaming him for everything. Aaron can be condescending and difficult, and I still think Aaron can be difficult. But the bottom line, you got to make Aaron Rodgers happy. And I can sit here on my pedestal and say it's on Aaron, but Aaron's a great talent, and you got to find a coach who works with him. And I didn't know if Matt LaFleur had it. He'd been a coordinator for 1 year, and Tennessee's offense regressed with him. But this has worked. Aaron's happy. LaFleur's been very clever. And what I like about LaFleur and Aaron is how they communicate in the sidelines. Face-to-face, mano-a-mano. They come over, they talk, they work things out. They clearly are, at least generationally, kind of the same guy. Young, handsome, kind of glib, funny, smart guys. It works. And McCarthy does look, when you watch this, he looks old.
Where Colin was right.
When the Rams drafted Cooper Kupp, I said, watch out. He is going to be one of these players you look back years later and go, who's Cooper Kupp? Well, I went to the same school, Eastern Washington. He's second in the NFL in wide receiver yards, leads the NFL in third down catches and third down yards. When Todd Gurley got hurt last year, I said, okay, that's fine, but they're still running the ball with C.J. Anderson. I said, if you go back and look at Jared Goff when Cooper Kupp got hurt, that's when Jared Goff was not the same quarterback. Now, I'm not saying Todd Gurley's not great, but C.J. Anderson came in and they ran the ball fine last year. They got to a Super Bowl, you know, with Todd Gurley not playing. But Goff has never been the same when he lost Cooper Kupp. He came in yesterday and was just insane against Cincinnati. He is, to me, not only the most underrated wide receiver in the league, but is it crazy to say he's a top five wide receiver? When guys are open, significantly open on third down, some of it's scheme, some of it for a wide receiver is you can't hide him and he's still open.
Where Colin was wrong.
I said Golden State would be fine. They'd be a fifth seed. They'd win a playoff series. They're officially the worst defense in league history. Listen, once Klay Thompson announced, I'm out, it's like the air was let out of the balloon. They've got five G leaguers in the back end of that bench. I mean, it's just they lost too much human capital. They lost Kevin Durant. They lost Klay Thompson. They lost the leadership and smarts of Iggy. They lost Sean Livingston. Alphonso McKinney, they moved off. DeMarcus Cousins, they're bad. It's sometimes in countries you have a lost year with the economy. This is a lost year. They're atrocious. They're not going to be a playoff team. It's not close. People can blame Steph all they want. This is a bad, bad roster outside of the top three players.
Where Colin was right.
Kyrie Irving, 3 games, lost 2 of them to bad teams, Memphis and Minnesota. So I say about Kyrie, he went there to be the man. This is what the man looks like. This is what he leads the NBA in points, shots, field goal attempts. This is what you wanted. And I said, be very careful about bailing on a great coach in sports. Be very careful about bailing on great coaches. Be very careful about bailing on LeBron in his prime. He's had 2 game-winning shots, 1 missed, 1 blocked. Because now, when you prepare for him, you can double him. You put your best defender on him because there's nobody else on the floor. This is exactly what I said was going to happen. He's going to get his shots. He's going to be the man. They're going to clear it out. And the culture last year, which was about team, is now about the man. And by the way, he's small, injury-prone. And I guarantee you, when you rely on him this many minutes, this many shots, watch Kyrie Irving's health deteriorate over the next 2 months. Being with LeBron, he's like your bodyguard. Being on the Celtics, they ran 9 deep. It's not going to be what you think in Brooklyn.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He played a decade and a half in the NFL. He won a Super Bowl with the Ravens. He made a Pro Bowl. One of the smartest guys I know, knows quarterbacks and football as well as anybody, and now is coaching it in Nashville, rebuilding a program there. The Lipscomb Academy head football coach in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee, via the Coward Global Satellite Network. My friend Trent Dilfer to Monday. All right, I didn't say this lightly. I gave this thought, and I said, listen, 32 starts in the NFL, about double what Sam Darnold has. I do think you can make judgments. And I think, you know, Mitch Trubisky didn't love him coming into the pros, don't love him. And I think I look at the NFC in the next 9 weeks, Trent, they will be at a quarterback deficit in 8 of the 9 weeks. I think Chicago's coach is good and their roster is excellent. I would make a move for Teddy Bridgewater. His work is done. He's leaving New Orleans at the end of the year. You can't pay him and Drew over $15, $18 million. Am I not saying trading deadlines tomorrow, Chicago, go out and get Teddy Bridgewater and don't take no for an answer?
I don't think you're nuts at all, Colin. I like that move. I totally agree with the Teddy Bridgewater play. I would also put in the Eli Manning play. I think Eli Manning, if you look at the 2 Super Bowls that he won with the Giants, those teams were built very similar to the Bears. I agree with you. This roster's too good. This team's too good. How they play football fits a Teddy Bridgewater and Eli Manning. Mitch Trubisky holds this team back, and it goes back to a conversation we had a couple weeks ago. It's the love button syndrome, that GM fell in love with Mitch Trubisky through the draft process and overvalued him. Now he's holding on too long because Mitch is his love button and he's forever connected to him. This happens a lot in the NFL. It's happening to the Bears and it's holding the Bears back.
Let's talk about their rival, the Green Bay Packers. I look at the top 3 teams in the league, Saints, Niners, Patriots. I get great defenses, great coaches, and very good quarterback play. Green Bay's defense, I've watched Matt Moore last night be very comfortable. And I'm 500 yards to Dallas, 440 to Oakland, Philadelphia controlled the clock. There's a difference between a great defense, to me, Trent, and some great defensive playmakers. I think Green Bay, I came away from that game last night saying, if I'm Green Bay, I'm a little worried about the defensive side of the football. Am I hyperbolic here?
Not at all. I don't think Green Bay is the best team in their division. I think the Minnesota Vikings are because of defense. I think the Vikings defense is sound, solid, tested. I think the Packers defense is feast or famine. It's always been that way with Pettin. You go back and look at Pettin's DNA as a play caller. He'll win 8 to 15 plays a game because of scheme, but he's going to give up 6 to 10. The difference is when he gives up 6 to 10, that turns into points. As a quarterback, as a really good offense, you're looking for a feast or famine defense. You know it's going to be there's going to be difficulties at time, but you know you're going to expose where they're unsound, and this is unsound defense at times, and the really good players are going to take advantage of it. I think very much like Greg Williams. I think if you're looking for a comparable, it's a Greg Williams comparable how he coaches defense. That, yeah, they're going to blitz you and they're going to show bravado and they're going to, you know, want to do all these really cool, manly things on defense. And then they're going to give up 28 because they're going to face a really good quarterback that says, okay, keep doing this stuff, keep being unsound. And eventually I'm going to catch you where you're unsound. And I think that's exactly what the Green Bay Packers are on defense. I think that's why they're the second best team in their division right now.
Wow. I judge teams off a bye. When you give a good coach extra time, not all coaches take advantage of it. We know who does. Saban, Barry Alvarez had a great record. Urban Meyer, Belichick, Reed, but we know who they are. To come off a bye, and Freddie Kitchens and the Browns, offensively, you know, Nick Chubb's a good kid, fumbled, but 13 penalties. I just looked at Cleveland and I thought, this does not look like a team off a bye, right? I'm not being too critical.
You're not. I wish we could disagree more. This segment's so much better when we disagree, but we're like-minded on this. It looked like spitball offense to me. It looked like they spent all week saying, oh, that's a cool play. That's a cool play. Oh, we can trick them here. Oh, we can do that. And they just threw spitballs against the wall and said, okay, let's pull that one off and try it. What's the identity of the Cleveland Browns? You know, we talked about it a couple weeks ago when they started righting the ship a little bit. They should be a run action team. Run the rock with Nick Chubb and then play action pass off of it. Let Baker Mayfield split the field in half, get it out of his hand to talent playmakers quick. We know a couple things. We know the longer Baker holds the ball, the worse he gets. When he's on time, when he's on rhythm, he can be deadly accurate. We know they have speed guys. We know they have twitch guys at the skill position. Let them win early. They don't need to win late. Let them win early. Puncture the inside of the defense with the running back. You don't have a great pass protecting offensive line, so let them come downhill. Let them play aggressively. I don't know why they're not doing this stuff. This is remedial type stuff in the NFL, and I think it goes back to a conversation we had a long time ago. I think Freddie Kitchens is a good guy. He's a good coach. He's out over his skis. And it's obvious right now watching the Cleveland Browns offensively and just how much they struggle.
All right, now let's get to the disagree stuff. Philadelphia, I know she ruined my credit, but I love her and I gave her another chance. Come on, they went to Philly, baby. They're for real, Trent Dilfer.
They're almost good, and almost the NFL is 500, and you're overreacting. Yeah, they played well. It was a big win for Carson Wentz. They rallied. They also had the young quarterback fumble it three times. I mean, they were given the game in a sense as well. So I think you're gonna grow increasingly more frustrated if you hold on to this one too long, because they're gonna make you feel really good, and then they're gonna break your heart because they're almost. I've been on almost teams where you're almost there, but you're not there, and I think that's the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, here's another. I don't know if we'll have a disagreement, but I tease this, and I think I know where you're going. You said there's a quarterback out there that is the next Tony Romo, which is we don't watch a ton of his college. You know, you don't talk about him on draft weekend, and you wake up and you're like, oh, Lord, he's a playmaker. So Gardner Minshew's your guy.
He is, man. And I spotted this last year early in the season while I was at Washington State. I wrote an article for Athletic where I talked about it, studying all these quarterbacks coming out last year and the ones coming out this year, the Herberts and the Tuas and the Fromms last year, the guys that came out. And of everybody I studied, the purest passer, the guy with the greatest instincts, the guy that could wiggle and shake and move just enough in the pocket to create time and space, the guy that threw guys open the most often, the guy that had gun barrel toughness, all those things, is true passing instincts, passing pedigree, Gardner Minshew. I mean, he is awesome. In fact, Drew Bledsoe and I know another buddy of yours, were texting last week, and Drew said, we were not wrong. This kid is a franchise quarterback. He's not just a starter. He's a guy you can build long-term around if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's Tony Romo. Tony Romo was a sneaky late round pick. Nobody was sure. Only Peyton and Parcells really believed in him. They knew it was going to take time. Gardner's come on even quicker than Tony Romo. Look at Tony Romo's career. A great, great franchise career for the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars have the same thing in Gardner Minshew.
Hey, by the way, Nick Foles, Chicago Bears, Nick Foles, make a call.
That's another one.
Yeah. I mean, Chicago right now looks like Gardner Minshew was the guy. He was better than Darnold yesterday, no question. Okay, now let's get back to something I think we'll agree on. Take our audience back to Deshaun Watson. Trent, it's absurd. I mean, he's doing this. He's completing 70% of his throws, 105 passer rating, with a bad O-line or a beat-up O-line. And you saw him, when did you see him, when he was 16 or 17?
16 years old. And like we said on the show a couple weeks ago, you can't truly appreciate him until you spend a lot of time around him. And that's why Dabo said what he said about him being Michael Jordan when he left Clemson. And here's the scary thing, Colin. He's only going to get better because they're only going to get better at the offensive line. Bill O'Brien's only going to grow the offense out a little bit more. They're only going to evolve as a football team. And Deshaun's just beginning to tap into how good he can be. He's just now on the last, call it 16 starts, really getting comfortable with a full field throw catalog. The second layer, two balls, the throwing guys open on the boundary, the little flick of the wrist underneath stuff. I mean, he never really developed that at Clemson, and now he's starting to develop that entire throw catalog. I think you got to start making the Aaron Rodgers comparison to Deshaun Watson. Aaron had 3 years to sit there and watch Brett. He came on early on. I remember you not being a buyer early on with Aaron.
Yep.
I had to convince you in Bristol, give him a couple years, and then he becomes one of the elite players in the NFL. I think Deshaun's in that period right now where you can see it coming, but it's going to be a Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson discussion for the premier player in the NFL for maybe the next, well, I don't know, 5, 7, 10 years.
Good stuff. Trent Dilfer, love him. Lipscomb Academy head football coach, a Super Bowl, a Pro Bowl, 15 years, knows this stuff, straightens me out when I get wrong. How about that? We got another Tony Romo. He's down in North Florida in Jacksonville. How about that? Trent, great seeing you.
Thanks, buddy.